I won't ever understand my shorties be mad when all I wanna do is stick my toes in the sand. There's nothing wrong with champagne, dancing and such, but the nightlife in the city don't impress me much. F-I-S-H-I-I-N, fishing.
Fishing.
F-I-S-H-I-I-N, fishing.
Fishing.
I don't feel right in the club, I'd rather be out sitting in my 14-footer catching some trout. The fishes all tremble at the thought of me when I'm F-I-S-H-I-I-N, Paul Bunyan country.
If you've been involved in any fishing tournaments in the Bemidji area the last year or so, you've probably run into Tourney Angler. It's a catch, photo, and release web program that has been used in fishing tournaments all over the area and will be used this Saturday at the Knights of Columbus Walleye Classic's 20th anniversary. Created by a couple of early 2000s Bemidji High School graduates and classmates, Mike Hendricks and Nick Von Holt. We'll hear their story next. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. Well, it's the 20th anniversary of the Knights of Columbus Walleye Classic. We're talking about it most of the week. Later this week, we will hear from a couple of members of the Knights of Columbus about the big event on Saturday and the fact that we can actually get down there and watch it. And we're going to reminisce with Bob Fitzgerald of Krause Anderson. They put this thing together 20 years ago. Today, though, a couple of Bemidji High School classmates from the early 2000s, Nick Von Holt and Mike Hendricks. These are the guys who have created the website that they'll be using for scoring the Knights Columbus Walleye Classic. It's called Tourney Angler, and it was created by Nick Von Holt and Mike Hendricks. Guys, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
thanks for having us, Kev.
Well, let's talk a little bit about each of you and your ties to Bemidji. Start with you, Nick. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I grew up in the Bemidji area. I worked at Blue Water Bait and Sports for 9 years. Graduated from Bemidji High School in 2003 and went to Bemidji State. Graduated with a business degree, and me and my wife moved away for a little while and moved back to the Bemidji area to be close to family. And I've been fishing the local tournaments for the last 20 years, and just kind of had a passion for it and enjoy the group of guys we have, especially the guys for sure.
What about you, Mike? What's your story?
Yeah, real similar to Nick. Grew up in Bemidji, graduated in 03 with Nick. We actually ran around a little bit together in high school. Went to Bemidji State University and like Nick, moved away out of state for a little while, but then came back and have four kids and busy with sports and don't do a whole lot of fishing, but I appreciate the fishing culture, put it that way.
I'm with you. I get to talk about it every stinking day, but I hardly ever get to do it. It's kind of frustrating, but I love talking to anglers. I love the passion they have, and I love what it brings to the North Country. No question about that. Well, guys, you have created Tourney Angler. It is a web-based scoring program for fishing tournaments. These have gotten to be very popular the last couple of years with COVID, and I think probably will continue beyond COVID due to the fact that it's probably better for the fish to use these. Tell us a little bit about how this system works and what differentiates it from some of the others. And I don't care which one he answers.
Yeah. Nick, I'll jump the gun then. Okay. Yeah, so kind of our origin story was COVID-related. I'm not very familiar with fishing tournaments or fishing apps. And then Nick approached me about kind of helping build, put something together for some custom scoring and weight conversions and such for, I think a couple tournaments that he was in. It was a couple years ago now, over a year ago now, so my memory's fading on it. But, we're using, a website, keep costs down and make it, more accessible to people that maybe don't want to download apps or have, personal information floating around in different, phone or Galaxy apps. It's fully customizable. That's kind of our niche. We do a lot of different culling and you can do different species and weight conversions. And we're always, we try to be as responsive as possible to the anglers and as well as the tournament hosts to create something that fits their needs and wants and promote their tournaments and make it more accessible to the general public that's participating in them. And of course, protect the fisheries in northern Minnesota. So they're there for several generations to come. But Yeah.
And, Nick, you guys have been busy. You've been on already this year. I know you've been in a lot of tournaments, and you were in several last year as well.
Yeah. We did the Northwoods Derby Dash tournaments. And then this spring I kicked out, I should say it's kind of late winter, spring, we kicked out the Berwick Bash. I worked with a couple guys at Northwoods Bait to promote the tournament. And I was kind of thinking we were only going to have, like, I don't know, maybe 20 teams. And Brett McComas down at Target Walleye got wind of it, and he promoted out of Target Walleye, and we ended up having like 70 teams for the whole deal. So that was pretty cool. That was a catch measure hero shot and a video release. So that the video release kind of created a new element, because anglers had to release that fish and then submit it after the fact. And so sometimes phones act different ways, but it was pretty cool to see those release videos. And then we did the Eagles this spring. We took second place in that, and then we just finished up with the Backwoods tournament. Paul Schumer's bar south of Bemidji. We got a call Tuesday. They were concerned with the hot temperatures keeping the fish in the live wells for that duration of time, and then doing the actual weighing. So Paul made the call to go to the catch photo release using Tourney Angler, and we built the tournament in a day or so, and went to the rules meeting and educated the fishermen on how to use the app and ran the tournament successfully. It was a really slow day. I think there was only 109 fish registered in the tournament. The minimum length had to be 16 inches. It was the best five fish. So, but the flat, calm, sunny day was sure a challenging element. One of the things we did during that tournament to kind of make it special is we have a live leaderboard, and people make up their own team names and stuff. And we shut the leaderboard off at noon, so we kept it in suspense and made it a surprise at the end to see who the winner was. So it created a pretty cool element for the fishermen and got everybody pretty excited and back to the bar to celebrate. So it's pretty cool.
Mike, can you give us a definition of the different terms Nick used, the different shots, and what the reasons are for those different shots?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's kind of, I guess, three forward-facing kind of main elements to the app that we're very sensitive about and making it user-friendly for the fishermen. And that is the sequence of submitting a fish. So when you land a fish that's ultimately going to score, you'll enter in your unique pin on the application, which will pull up your virtual stringer. At that point, you'll be given notice on what size of fish you need to improve your score. So if it's a fish that's not going to improve your score, you can quickly discard it and, you know, throw it back in the honey hole that you're at. Or move to a different spot. And then if it is a fish that is going to improve your score or that you want to put in your stringer, you're ultimately going to take, two photos and a release video. And it can be different, you know, from tournament to tournament, what the tournament host requires. But it typically entails a scoring shot. So a bump board, we've done, you know, just typical, you know, Stanley measuring tapes before to get the total length of the fish. And then a hero shot, which would be, kind of the photos that you see posted at Northwoods Bait, guys holding up their fish, might be a particular side that needs to be facing the camera. And then as well as the release video, which would just be a short video of you actually, you know, physically releasing the fish. And then the tournament host has the latitude or the options, I guess, to determine what is viewable by the other participants in the tournament. You know, sometimes the background of an image when doing a hero shot can kind of give up where you're at or, different things like that. So they can pick and choose on what people can see or if they can see anything at all. Like Nick mentioned, the live leaderboard, which is continuously updating as teams move up and down the ranks, can be disabled, and then re-enabled to, create that suspense or, drop people into the final kind of get together to crown the winner. So. Yeah, that's kind of the nuts and bolts behind the app, and then everything else is just kind of bells and whistles. So,
Nick, is there any particular type of tournament that tends to require that video?
It's solely up to the director of the tournament. I know the Knights of Columbus, they were going to do it just to kind of ensure, more of the integrity piece of it. But I think they kind of listened to the local people that were fishing the tournament, and they didn't really want it just because of the doing the three shots, making it visible. And Aaron Schmitz from Northwoods Bait ran the last four tournaments last summer without using the release video, and everything works. So I think it's kind of if it's not broke, don't try to fix it kind of deal. So
I can anticipate, possibly a time when you get into maybe doing some musky tournaments. I mean, that's a fish that, most musky anglers, they're very serious about catch and release, and it might be something that they would require.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so each of you, I'm sure, have different roles within the company, so can you each explain what your roles are?
Yeah, so...
Sure. Go ahead, Nick.
Right. Well, I'm kind of more in the sales aspect of it, and I would say the education piece of it. I've been kind of a personal representative to the fishing tournaments. I'll go to the rules meeting, help educate the fishermen on how to use the app. I think the biggest challenge for us in learning is and how the best way to educate the people using the app. Yeah, so I've been trying to make some sales calls too, doing some cold calls, talking to people about their tournaments, and it's kind of the way of the future, I think. It's sometimes it's a hard sell because people, their tournament directors like to, have the weigh-in and have that, the weigh-in show, I guess. But as far as the conservation piece and this hot weather, it makes it easy sell, with the backwoods tournament that we just did. So,
what about you, Mike?
Yeah, so what Nick didn't mention, he's the extroverted, better-looking one of us. So he's the one out,
He is a fine-looking gentleman, yes.
Yeah, so Nick, Nick speaks the language and understands, the expectations better than I do. I'm not a tournament angler. However, I have a passion, for, doing coding and stuff like that. So we kind of combined them became a good mix. So he'll go out and he'll get, get the feedback and what the requirements are. And sometimes he comes back to me, or oftentimes he comes back to me and says, well, we need to do this, this, and this. And my first inclination is that's not possible. but I enjoy the challenge and we figure it out and how to make things work and make it better for the tournament host and the anglers and make sure that we maintain integrity of these tournaments and make it fun for everybody. So. Yeah, that's kind of the duo that we have in place currently. It's a lot of fun.
Much more with Nick and Mike from Tourney Angler later in the show. But up next, we're going to talk about Schumer's Backwoods Bar and Grill Barclay Kendall Memorial Tournament this past Saturday in Lake Plantagenet. I got the details from Tourney Angler. We'll take a look at a tough day of fishing next. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. Welcome back to Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. Schumer's Backwoods Bar and Grill had the Backwoods Bar Barclay Kendall Memorial Fishing Tournament on Lake Plantagenet on Saturday. They, at the last second, decided to bring in Tourney Angler rather than have a weigh-in, do a catch, photo, and release format because of the 90-some degree temps and wanting to keep the fish as safe as possible. Congratulations to Wyatt Wilcox and Jordan Schuver. Team Backdoor Bait, they won the tournament with a weight of 15.19 pounds. Their big fish was the big fish of the tournament as well, 6.55 pounds. Runner-up, Josh Coons and Jason Hadrava, Team J&J, they had 12.78 pounds, a big fish of 6.34 pounds. Too hot to fish, Joe Dukek and Tony Mergeman took bronze. They had 11.94 pounds, and the big fish was 6.14 for them. Ron Burgundy, Dave Zothman and James Forenbacher had 11.77 pounds to finish fourth. Very consistent. Their big fish was 2.54 pounds, so pretty much every one of their fish was around that weight. And rounding out the top five, Josh Opatz and Jeremy Segura. Their team name, Opatz Segura. 11.71 pounds with a big fish of 5.95 pounds. In sixth, Al Binkley and Luke Lyme, Team JER, they had 11.35 pounds, and they had a fish over 6.14. Young Guns, Matt Newell and Will Annette took seventh. Don Fishin, Chad Benson and Joe Edlin took eighth. Coming in ninth, Leaping Walleye, Buck Leaper and John Ross, and rounding out the top ten, Pete, Repeat, and Three-Pete? Nope, no Three-Pete. Dan Fuller and Logan Olson end up 10th. Tough day on the water with those temperatures, as you might imagine. Only 109 total fish caught amongst the 60 teams. The average weight, 2.45 pounds. The average fish count per team, less than two, 1.82. The average weight per team, 4.45 pounds. They had 14 teams that did not get a registerable fish. I don't know if registerable is a word. It is now. Thanks to Nick and Mike and Tourney Angler for getting that info to me. We're going to check back in with them as we continue discussing this new program that is being used in fishing tournaments all over Paul Bunyan country. Tourney Angler, they'll be responsible for declaring the winner at the 20th annual Knights of Columbus Walleye Classic this Saturday. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan country. Okay, you guys came up with the idea. You started working together. How did you take it from, hey, we've got an idea, into, hey, we've got a product that we're running in a bunch of tournaments this year? How did this all happen?
Yeah, so I didn't really have a great relationship with Northwoods Bait until I kind of sent the, you know, I'd stop there and buy a bait, of course, but I sent the idea as just kind of a Facebook message to Northwoods Bait, you know, during the COVID times when the Eagles was canceled, the Backwoods was canceled, and just like, hey, you know, what do you guys think about using this? And Aaron Schmitz from Northwoods says, yes, let's try it. And we did the first Derby Dash. I think it was in, I can't remember, there was a couple of them that ran together. There was one in May and one in June. And we ran those tournaments, and they ran very successfully. And we also got some, you know, I think the first one we had the hero shot involved, and then as we got farther down the road with the other tournaments, we took the hero shot off the to not make it visible to all the anglers, just, you know, to keep people making sure they were not seeing where the other fishermen were fishing. But no, that's kind of how it rolled, is we just kept doing that. And then Aaron, you know, with his relationship with the fishing community, helped us get into some other tournaments like the Knights of Columbus and United Way and the BSU one that's coming up too. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the War on the Shore, and that, what's interesting about that, that was strictly a Lake Bemidji tournament. Now I guess you're going to open it up to other BSU football fans who want to help on other lakes because of the app, right?
Yep, absolutely. We talked to Pat Morris, one of the coaches for the football team, and they're going to have a local division, which is going to be, I think it's, I haven't got the rules technically yet, but it was, I believe it was Hubbard, Cass, and Beltrami, so they'll do like a local division, and then they're going to put out a national division, and I'm kind of hoping, you know, if we get a whole bunch of national teams, they'll kind of help promote Tourney Angler too to kind of different geographic parts of the United States, so it'll be fun to see how that rolls out, and, you know, try to make it entertaining as possible. So
it sounds like mainly so far it's been walleye tournaments, or have you done a number of different species yet?
We've done just walleye tournaments. I've tried to put out a couple, like, family resort tournaments with multi-species, but I think they start fishing, and then they're like, oh, they're just going to keep on fishing, and not, you know, enter fishing app. So, but I think with this BSU tournament, it's going to be, oh, yeah, I guess I forgot to say that. I guess we did do a bird bash, so.
In the high school, it's been random ones. It's hard to keep track, but we had I don't recall, but it was smallmouth and largemouth bass high schoolers last summer at one point. I think it was Bemidji high schoolers, but.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
So, how do you guys make money on this thing? or do you?
Yeah, well, I'd say to date we are. You know, we're trying to hone our craft, and not too concerned about monetizing. We have some overhead, but we've we've been fortunate enough to keep that quite low, so that we can continue to develop the product and make it much more scalable, robust, reliable, and we think we're getting very close. I wouldn't say very close. We think we're there. That's kind of our next hurdle there, to understand what the market and how best to approach that market to monetize the product a little bit better and making it more conformity for our users. So, yeah.
Is the Knights of Columbus tournament the biggest one you guys have done yet?
Yeah, absolutely. It will be.
It's right, so. Yeah, it's right up there. Yeah, as far as the number of boats, I would say it's just sheer number of boats, I would say it's probably maybe the largest. I'd have to go back through our history book, but I want to say it's pretty close to the largest. And as far as cash prizes and stuff, it's definitely in the top five, no doubt about that.
You know, you guys were talking about people wanting the weigh-in and things like that. I anticipate that there will be continued pressure to kind of go this way. It's the wave of the future. You guys nailed it. It's much better for fish. I think the next stage will be, well, how do we do it this way and still and I think you kind of did it a little. You kind of moved it in the right direction this past weekend. You still want to have that end of tournament dramatic event, and that's the next thing. How do we be able to do both?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's really important. That's what's going to draw people to the waterfront and create the buzz and excitement around the event outside of its inner circle of participants and people passionate about the sport. But that's that's where that feedback loop is extremely important to us. And it was actually I think spawned from conversations with Knights of Columbus that led us on to pausing the leaderboard or truncating it so that only a certain duration of the tournament can be viewable by both participants and viewers themselves to draw people in to see who actually comes out in the end and is at the top of that board. As technology progresses with multimedia and faster cell phone services and such, I'm sure we'll continue to evolve in that space to make it more interactive and try to promote that gathering of sorts, especially in this post-COVID, as we come back into a normalized environment of being able to see each other face to face and express your feelings with a smile and make it visible to others. So that's something we're looking forward to, that challenge on improving that side of the application and how that works.
Nick, you've been in the thick of the tournaments. You've fished in a number of them that you have actually run the software for as well. What's the feedback you're getting as far as anglers being able to see what's going on? Do they appreciate that? Do they not like it? How do they feel about it?
Well, I think they like to watch that leaderboard, and if they see teams jump or increase their score, even for me, it's like someone out there is catching them. How come I'm not? So it's like, well, do we make a move, or or basically it's kind of a hint on maybe there's a fish bite window that's happening, and you got to get ready for it, and it's time to make decisions. So that's what's kind of fun about it is watching that leaderboard for sure. So that's what I've got back to from the anglers, is they watch that thing and decide if they're going to make moves or not. So it's been fun.
One of the things that you can do with this, because catch photo release, you can just go with your five, or depending on the rules of the tournament, six biggest walleyes. Whereas, if it's a weigh-in, you can't do it that way. Or you can maintain the rules you've had in the past. It's kind of up to each individual tournament. And they each have their benefits. They each have their unique, fascinating aspects. But it does give you more options on how you want to run a tournament. Until these apps came out, this was the only sport in the world that the participants didn't know the score.
Yeah.
Right? Now they can.
And they can know the score, and they can shut it off at a certain time, or just make fish the fish caught available at certain times too, just to create that suspense. So it's up to the director and how they want to do it. So it's kind of neat.
So there's a few different apps out there, obviously, and yours is web-based. So what would you say is the advantage of Tourney Angler?
Sure. And Nick and I have discussed this quite a bit on whether or not this product is more or less commoditized and we shouldn't be in the space. But where we think that we can, create a viable product is in the fact that we are very malleable. We can change the app and how it faces not only the anglers but the hosts per their specific needs. It's not a large, cumbersome, drawn out process for us to quickly pivot and kind of change the way the app works, functions, looks, or give the feedback back to the angler. So we think that's kind of our niche right there, is that we can customize it per your needs and continue to rapidly develop ways to draw people into establishments like Backwoods for their walleye derby without having to weigh in at the end and still create the buzz and the excitement of the tournament while still doing a catch quarter release process. So that's our angle, no pun intended.
Okay. If I'm a tournament director or maybe I'm thinking about running a tournament to fundraise and I want to know more about Tourney Angler, what do I do next?
They can contact us. They can email us at info@tourneyangler.com. They can Facebook message us. Or if you go to our website at tourneyangler.com, you can, there's a little contact sheet on there too. Just drop your name and number and we'll get right back to you. Find your tournament, make it a success.
Nick Von Holt and Mike Hendricks, they are the geniuses behind Tourney Angler. It's going to be part of the Knights of Columbus Walleye Classic this Saturday. Guys, thanks for taking the time. I just love hearing entrepreneurial success stories, and I'm looking forward to seeing it in action this weekend and obviously at the United Way tournament down the road, too. Thanks again, guys.
Absolutely. Right. Thank you, Kevin.
On our next show, we'll check in with Dave Weitzel of the Minnesota DNR. He's one of the key movers and shakers with the DNR's Panfish Initiative, which has resulted, of course, in those new panfish regs on about 100 lakes around the state of Minnesota, many in our area, with the goal, of course, getting bigger panfish. We'll see how the implementation has gone and what the goals are, and we'll hear from a couple of Knights of Columbus members, Joski and John, as we prepare you for Saturday's big day, the 20th anniversary celebration of the Knights of Columbus Walleye Classic. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the podcast so you can listen whenever it's convenient for you and get bonus content, too. Go to Podcast One or to the PodMN app, which will also give you access to hundreds of Minnesota-based podcasts. That's it for today. I'm Kev Jackson. Thanks for being here.
Michelle, Bob.